Amen. Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37. Amen. I'm going to preach for just a little while tonight. Amen. And don't get your guard up. Amen. I've come to help someone here tonight. Praise God. Joseph, verse 5, Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, the dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. Behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and he told it his brethren, and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. He started getting even more plain with his dream, and he told it to his father and to his brother, and his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow ourselves down to thee, to the earth? And his brothers envied him, but his father observed the saying. His father observed the saying. And I just want to preach for a little while tonight, what will become of your dreams? I don't think I've preached this here. I don't think I have. But if I have, this is a message I've preached before. But this is what God put in my spirit today. While I was getting ready to preach, I was like, God, what do you want me to preach? And I want to preach tonight, what will become of your dreams? Praise God. Let's ask God to help us. Pray for us tonight, Pastor. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. We praise you, Lord God. I love you, Jesus. I praise your name, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus' name, Jesus' name. Praise God. Someone said, praise the Lord. Amen. You can be seated tonight. This young man, Joseph, many of you probably know the story as well as I do. Amen, but it is a story that captivates my attention every time that I read it. Many times I cannot just read a part or a chapter, but I have to read the entire life of Joseph. But really, his life of dreaming did not start just on a whim or by accident, but it started probably when his father was running from God, when Jacob had deceived his father Isaac and had stolen the birthright from Esau. And there, his life was coming to a point that death was not too far away, because his father Isaac had told Esau, he said, really the only way that you can regain this birthright, or the blessing, to get the blessing, is by breaking the yoke off of your neck. Now, he didn't tell him to go kill his brother, but it wasn't too hard to understand what his father Isaac was saying, what he was saying to Jacob, or to Esau concerning Jacob. And Jacob began to run for his life. Jacob began to say, I've got to run for my life, because my brother is going to murder me. It's going to kill me. And so we find this young man, he went to a place, and the Bible tells us that he went there and he used the rocks as a pillow for his head. And that night while he was asleep, the Bible says that he dreamed or had a vision of the angels of God ascending and descending, amen, from heaven to earth. And God was simply telling him, amen, that he was in control and that God was going to take care of him. And from that point on, when Jacob awoke from that dream and awoke from his sleep, amen, he knew that everything was going to be all right, but he said, surely this is the house of God. And he named that place Bethel. And so we go on years later, after that he had had many children and had all of these sons by all of his different wives and concubines. And no, we don't advise or tell people to do that anymore. In fact, the Word of God says just one wife, and thank God for that. But Jacob had a whole bunch of them, and I wouldn't want to try that even in the best of times. Praise God. And thank God for grace, and thank God for a different day and a time. But there was this young man by the name of Joseph that was born to Jacob and Rachel. And we find that this young man, that he was a special young man, and his father had given him, after this, his father gave him a coat of many colors. And we find that he was dreaming. All these things were happening in his life, and his brothers didn't like it. But he didn't know what these dreams were about. He couldn't really place a finger on him. Oh yeah, that one that he had about the 11 stars bowing down and the sun and the moon bowing down to him. That became pretty evident what was happening in life. And he didn't know the meaning of it. You know, sometimes there's just things that happen in life, and you're like, why are all these things happening? But we really don't understand it. But later on in life, you look back over your life and you say, God was right in the middle of everything that was going on in my life. I'm preaching to you about what will become of your dreams. Amen. Because I believe that when you were filled with the Holy Ghost, my Bible says that, hey man, in the last days, saith God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And so I know that when you got the Holy Ghost, hey man, God just didn't give you a warm, fuzzy, tongue-talking experience, but he put a dream inside of your heart and inside of your spirit. And you know what the devil would like to do? Is the devil would like to stop the dream of God from happening in your life. Amen. And so we go on and we read the story of this young man of Joseph. How that Joseph went to his brothers and he had on his coat of many colors. His father said, go feed your brethren that are keeping sheep in the field. And they got out there, and he got out there to the field, and they said, behold, here cometh the dreamer. Here comes that old dreamer boy that he just say that all of you are going to bow down to me. They couldn't stand him by this point. And they took Joseph and they said, let's kill him. And Reuben said, no, you can't kill him. Hey man, he said, you can't do that. He's our blood. And they said, well, throw him in that pit till we decide what to do with him. All right. Amen. Throw him down in that pit. Put him in that place where nobody can see him. Put him down there where he can't get out, where he can't get away. Amen. And we're gonna figure out what to do with this dreamer. Oh, yeah. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching to a dreamer tonight. And his brothers took him up, and they said, well, let's kill him. They said, no, we can't kill him. And pretty soon here come their cousins, riding their camels down the road. And they said, let's sell him to this band of Ishmaelites. Let's sell him out. Let's, the world would like to sell you out. The world can't stand you. They can't stand your walk with God, but keep on dreaming. Hey man, your family may tell you, you know what? I don't know why you're going to that one God apostolic tongue-talking church, but in the end, you might be their salvation. Hey, man, in the end, hey, man, oh, come on, I'm preaching to you, saint of God. Don't let your dream fall apart. When God filled you with the Holy Ghost, he gave you reason to live. Hallelujah. Amen. And so Joseph, Everything he did, it seemed like he rose to the top. He got sold into Potiphar's house. Amen. He became the head chief servant. Amen. In the end, the master left and the wife, the adulterous wife said, come lay with me. And he said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Somewhere along the way, amen, he had gotten up. Amen. There's something done in his spirit that I'm going to serve my God. That I'm not going to turn my back on my convictions. I'm not going to turn my back on the things of God. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to do this. Amen. Not because somebody's watching me. By that time he was in Egypt, no one even knew him. He could have had a relationship with her. Nobody would have cared. Come on, I'm preaching to you tonight. What's going to become of your dreams? Hey, man, and that's, oh, yeah. When it's all, when everything's staring you eyeball to eyeball and all the chips are down and no one's around, what are you going to do? I'm going to hold on to my walk with God. Hey, man, I'm not going to let loose. I'm not going to let up. I'm not going to turn my back on God. He saved me. Hey, man, I might be having it rough right now, but I'm coming through like gold on the other side. Amen. Though you be tried by fire, your faith is like gold more precious than is tried by fire. Well, hallelujah. He said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And here he went again. Instead of a pit, the pit had walls and it had bars. The Bible said he went to prison for a lie. Went to prison. You know, I can't fathom that. There was a man, he's dead and gone now. His name was Ron Quick. And for all that he wasn't after he got out of prison, he was a pretty honest guy. And my dad taught him Bible studies for years. None of you probably know him. If you do, it's from years ago. You had to have been in church a long time ago. But anyway, he got put in prison for a crime. Now, I'll say this. The police just don't come knocking on your door because you've been going to church every Sunday and you probably living a little bit on the edge anyhow. But Ron Quick got put in prison for another man's deed. Hey, man, he got thrown in prison, and that man finally, he got put back in prison. The last time he got put in prison was for murder, and he was finally honest enough. He said, hey, there's a guy in prison that really shouldn't be there, and they turned old Ron loose. But old Joseph got put in prison just for simply being honest, for simply being dedicated to his God, for being dedicated to Potiphar. Amen. Even though his wife wasn't worth having, that he was dedicated and sold out to God, first of all, but it bled over into everything else. And here he went down into the prison. And here he was living. And he was like, what about these dreams that I had? What about these dreams that God give to me? You know, when you have a dream from God, you know that God give you that dream. You know that that dream, you can remember that dream almost verbatim, the things that happened in those dreams. I don't know who I'm preaching to here tonight, but I've come to preach to you. Hey, man, if God give you a dream, don't let go of the dream. Hey, man, keep believing God that the dream will come to pass. Hey, man, keep on believing God. Hey, man, that God will bring you through. But old Joseph, he was in that prison. Hey, man, and he was saying, God, I know that you're still my God. And if I die in this place, I'm not going to give up on my dreams. I'm going to keep on believing God. And all of a sudden, there were two guys talking, and They said, man, I had a dream. I had a dream that I was, that my cup that I was carrying, that I was restored, or that the cup was taken back into Pharaoh's house. And Joseph told him, he said, well, not too many days. He said, you're going to be restored back into your position as the chief butler. And the cook, the baker, he said, I had a dream that the birds, and there was a pie, and the birds came down out of the sky and began to eat the fruit out of this pie. And he said, in not too many days, they're going to take you and hang you on a tree. Amen. And you know what happened? Both those dreams come to pass. And Joseph, he told that butler, he said, when you get back to Pharaoh's house, he said, don't forget me in this prison. And everything just rocked on. Life, you know, that's the way life is. Life just rocks on. And all of a sudden, this man was in Pharaoh's house, and he was the butler again, and Pharaoh began to have troubling dreams. Can I preach to someone here tonight that maybe you need to let God give you a dream, hey man, that'll change your life forever? You say, Pastor, I've sat here, Brother Carrick, I've sat here, and I've never had God do anything for me. Wait a minute. You had a man of God preach to you. There's people in this world that don't have anybody to preach to them, and they still live for God. They still walk with God. They say, I'm going to the house of God. I'm going to serve God. And you know what God did is he gave you a gift. I said, God gave you a gift. God gave you an angel. You say, I want to see an angel. God sent you an angel to preach to you. God sent you a man of God to preach the word of God. But you need to let God give you a dream. And old Pharaoh started having all these crazy dreams. The fat cows, the skinny cows. The fat ears of corn, the skinny ears of corn. And the skinny cows and the skinny ears of corn eating each other up. You know, if I started having dreams like that, I would get troubled. Think about that. Think about that. Anybody ever had a dream that troubled you? Yeah, we all have. When I woke up from dreams, I was like, thank God, I'm awake now. I had a dream of a woman. My grandmother witnessed to her. Many, many years, she would come to our family functions. She told my grandma, she says, I appreciate you inviting me to church. I appreciate you talking to me. But she said, you've got your faith and I've got mine. And so you don't need to talk to me about God anymore. My grandma, it didn't bother her. She just kept on, you know. You're not going to stop an apostolic. You're not going to shut him down. But a place where I worked for many years, that woman lived out there until the end of her life. And one day they found her passed from this life in her house. And I had a dream one night of her falling into hell. And the most hideous scream that I've ever heard in my life, as she fell into the flames of hell, she said, I wasn't ready. And man, I woke up and I immediately got out of my bed. I knew what God was trying to show me is that I've got to be ready. And I went into the living room and I got down on my knees and I started repenting. I said, God, if there's anything in my life, God, that would stand between me and you, God, forgive me. God, I don't want to be lost. I don't ever want to have the attitude that, God, I've got it all together. And I know everything, God. I know, God, I don't know everything. And I begin to pray. But I'll tell you something. That dream was from God, and it was real. Oh, I'm preaching to you tonight. What's going to become of your dreams? Because when God begins to talk to you about dreams and things in your life, things that he wants to do, those dreams don't die. So we find Joseph sitting there in prison. Maybe by this time, his hope was beyond getting out of prison, getting out of the place that he had been in. Maybe there was no hope. It was nothing turning it around. And he was just sitting there waiting, probably waiting on the end of life. You know, all you have is time. All you can do is sit there. And I promise you, he didn't have no cell phone. He didn't have no TV. He didn't have no computer. Oh, yeah. Oh, don't get me started on my opinion about prison. But anyway, he was sitting there. And all of a sudden, the guards came and said, "Get up." The Bible says he got up, changed his raiment, shaved his face. He said, put on different raiment. He didn't want to be associated. When he stood before Pharaoh, they said, "You're going to stand before Pharaoh." And as soon as they told him, "You're going to stand before Pharaoh," he knew that that butler had remembered him. He said, "I know that that man has told me." And you know what he did? As he got up, changed his raiment, shaved his face, cleaned himself, combed his hair, because he was going to stand before the king. And when he got there, Pharaoh began to tell him his dream. And as Joseph stood there and listened to it, God began to tell him the interpretation of that dream. And he said, "Pharaoh," he said, "this is what's going to happen." He said, "There's going to be 7 years of plenty. There's going to be 7 years that the fields produce. There's going to be 7 years that the cattle, they produce like never before." And he said, "In those 7 years, we have got to take advantage of this great bounty, because after those 7 years," he said, "there's coming 7 years of dearth. There's coming 7 years of famine. There's coming 7 years that if we're not ready for it, I'm telling you, Pharaoh, this is what you've got to do. You've got to get ready, and you've got to have a man in place." And he told Pharaoh, "I'm your man." And Pharaoh realized that it was from God. And can I tell you something? While Joseph, he was still, all these things were happening in his life, and it seemed like he was coming up out of the dungeon, out of the prison, out of the pit, and he was standing tall, and everything was happening. In the back of his mind, there was still the dreams that God had given to him, and he had no idea of what was getting ready to happen in his life. I'm preaching to you tonight. This is what God gave me to preach. What will become of your dreams? And as Joseph began life, 7 years went on. 7 years went by. He went from a prison to a Pharaoh. Pharaoh told him, he says, "You're equal to me." He was Pharaoh, except in the throne. He didn't sit on the throne. Read your Bible. He said, "The only thing that you don't have is you don't have quite the power that I've got, because I sat in the throne." And Joseph, all those years, he got married. He had children. All these things were happening in his life. All these things. Life was just rolling on. And then came the famine. And he began to deal out the food, meter it out, help people. And then all of a sudden, while he was standing at his post one day, he saw 11 men riding in. And he said, "Looky here." The way they were dressed, the way they looked, Here they came. And all of a sudden, the dream began to come to pass. And then, all the things, you know, he had so much power at that point that he could have done anything to those men. Oh, yeah, he was a little bit rascally with them. You read your Bible, it's kind of a cool story. Man, he put them through it. He said, y'all a bunch of spies. I tell just by the way you look, you come here to spy us out. Think about that. He had a lot of power. He could have put them in the pit immediately for the rest of their lives. But then he realized, and at the end of that story, we read where he said, you know, you meant this for evil, and God meant it for good. You know, there's a lot of things that's happening right now in this church. I don't know why I'm preaching this, but I'm going to preach it. Because there's things happening right now in this church that God has given dreams and visions to this church. God has told your pastor, God has told some of you, God has given you dreams of revival, and don't let those dreams die. You say, Pastor Carricker, Brother Carricker, they're not happening right now. The things that I think that should be happening right now, I don't see it happening. Just keep on living for God. Keep on saying, okay, God, you brought us this far. You brought me this far, God. You brought this church in Augusta this far. Can I tell you something? This church has been through the fire. It's been through the flood. There's some of you, you've been through it. And you know what God's doing is God's bringing you through. God's saying, come on. You're not just going to die out. Hey, man, you're not just going to see, hey, man, the Monday. You're going to see the revival that is promised to Augusta, Kansas. Because there is revival in this church, in this city, in this region, in this area. Don't let the dreams die. Don't let the dreams die. Success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It's the courage to continue that counts. Oh, I didn't just come here to preach you an uplifting message. But I'm preaching to you what God gave to me. We don't understand joy until we face sorrow. We don't understand faith until it is tested. We don't understand peace until we are faced with conflict. We don't understand trust until we are betrayed. We don't understand love until it's been lost. We don't understand health until sickness enters into our life. We don't understand hope until we have been confronted with doubt. In the midst of your troubles and your broken heart, don't lose your dream. Don't lose your dream. Finances are down. Finances are up. Keep on dreaming. Put your dreams in the work of God. Say, okay, God, your word says that we shall reap in due season if we faint not. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Don't be weary in well-doing. You say, Brother Carrick, I've been doing everything I know to see revival in Augusta. I've been witnessing. I've been teaching Bible studies. Keep on planting the seed. Except a grain of corn fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. You know what it takes? Is it takes someone who says, okay, God, I'll die out to my will and I'll do your will, God. God, I'll be that one that witnesses. I'll be that one that reaches. I'll be that one that encourages. I'll be that one. This church is full of people, amen, that God has called to do the work of God. I'm reaching for you. There's a man by the name of Henry Ford that dropped out of school at the age of 14. His teacher told him, he said, you're the dumbest kid she'd ever taught. Henry Ford was the father of mass production, the assembly line that saved our nation in World War I, World War II, by mass producing the weapons of war that our nation needed to win. T.J. Watson's boss told him, Go get a job in a factory. You don't have the skills of success. Gave him a long list of all he was not and what he could not do. TJ went on to become the CEO of IBM. Walt Disney had 5 bankruptcies, 2 nervous breakdowns, but he became the head of one of the most successful, longest running corporations in the world today. These are just people without the Holy Ghost, but they had a dream. They had a dream. Can I tell you something, saint of God? God give you his spirit. God give you a dream. God give you a vision. Don't stop dreaming. Don't let go of your dreams. What's going to become of your dreams? What would have happened to Joseph's family? What would have happened to the nation of Israel? Think about that. If Joseph would have cut them off. But God brought the dream to fulfillment. And he saved much souls alive. So I want to ask you tonight, will you sit at the bottom or will you rise to the top? The dreams that God gives us. And I'm just about finished here. This morning, as I prayed with young children in our altar, I began to weep and to cry because of a dream that I had in my life many years ago. So many years ago that the dream has become a little fuzzy now. I don't remember it quite in detail. The sharpness is worn off. But the dream that I had many years ago as a small child, I saw brown children falling into a pit of fire. And they were perishing and saying, somebody help us. And this morning, as I prayed with little brown children, little Mexican children talking in tongues, repenting, pouring their heart out to God, the dream came back to life. The dream, I realized, you know what? As a child, I told my mom that night, I said, Mom, those little kids are dying. I can't do anything to save them. She said, oh, but son, somewhere down the road, you'll be big enough to save them. You'll be big enough to help them. And you know what? God is bringing that dream to pass in my life. There's some of you that God has dealt with. There's some of you that God has talked to. There's some of you that God has given dreams. There's some of you that God has spoke to and give you specific things that you've got to do in this lifetime. And I want to tell you tonight, don't let your dream die. What's going to become of your dream? If we could all stand tonight. I want to encourage you tonight that their dream will come to pass. God will bring that dream to pass in your life. If you want to come and pray tonight, that's all I have to preach. That's what God gave me to preach. I don't know you. I do know you, but God knows you better than I do. God said, preach this to him tonight. So I've come to preach. I've come to tell you that there is a dream that God has given to you, and God's going to fulfill the dream in your life. God's saying, okay, you've done it this long, and now I'm going to step on the scene, and I'm going to show you that these things will come to pass. These things will happen. Oh, come on, church. Why don't we just lift our voices to the Lord right now? It's okay, God. God, I love you, Lord. Come on, let's pray right now. Let the Holy Ghost strengthen you. Let the Holy Ghost encourage you right now.